He died on the cross as the Lamb, and he put to an end sacrifice and burnt offering. He did it. And at the destruction of the temple, he raised another one. And here we are.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on April 9, 2025, and is titled, The Lamb. We'll be starting in Exodus, so grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Get that, because 175 years of bad teaching does not have to continue to be a generational disaster. And all you people that are sitting around gripping the back of a pew, clicking your heels together, begging, beam me up, Scotty, let me tell you something, you're in for a rude awakening, because the Bible does not read that way. Is that good enough for you, Leonard? He was wondering when I was going to handle that one. I just went in and did it. I'm not afraid anymore. If you were raised on the Left Behind series instead of the Bible, you've been lied to. Burn them. Burn them and get you a Bible, because it does not read that way. This world's been in tribulation since the crucifixion of Christ. The blood of the Lamb has washed thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands. White as snow and gathered together in the throne room of grace. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 11, please. We're gonna do 7, because I like this part where Satan got thrown out of heaven. I think that's pretty cool. I kind of look at that like an old Western movie where you just chunk him through the front door and he rolls through the mud in the street. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in the heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, and the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. God, how many of y'all know he's getting that pulled off? Deceives the whole world. Do you know how brash the devil is? He has actually convinced some actual men that they're women. You talk about a tricky booger. I'm glad he ain't trading horses. He'd be hard to keep up with. He said, well, maybe he's been trading a few. There's probably been a few of his disciples come in there every now and then. But he said, who deceives the whole world, and he's cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Can you testify today to the blood? You know, we've had tribes in our religion that wanted to eradicate the word blood from hymnals and different things because they found blood to be offensive. If the blood of Jesus is offensive to you, you're already cast down. You wear a different jersey than the rest of us. You're not clothed in Christ. You're not redeemed. The blood of the Lamb should be honored, treasured, remembered. Do this as often as you remember me. Then I heard that loud voice, now salvation, the kingdom has come. And then he said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Go over here to chapter 13, verse 8. Here's one of the things as I'm finishing up. I learned this a long time ago from Robin. I just went blank. Our friend from California, we had him here. Al Houghton. But as Al and I talked a lot back in the day, and he told me, he said, if you want to find a true theology, you want to find true word of God, you'll be able to find it in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the book of Revelation. I rest my case on the Lamb. Been here the whole time. And he says right here in verse 8, all who dwell on earth will worship him, whose names... all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's talking about the blasphemies and the non-believers, all of them in the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. The blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of the Lamb, the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, he's our Redeemer. He's to be honored. He's to be celebrated. He's to be gleaned from. He's to be revered. He's to be lifted up. He's to be embraced in our hearts and our minds. The Lamb who redeemed us. Let those who have an ear hear. Only those with ears to hear will ever hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Let's go over to chapter 22, verse 3. No, let's go to 21:23 first. 21:23. Look here, we're almost plumb to the end of the book. Holy moly, we finished this book, we can just quit. 21:23. They're not starting 22. But I saw no temple in it. He's talking about the New Jerusalem. No temple. No temple. Somewhere in here, we have to lose this mental imagery of man-made temples. We have to lose the man-made imagery of Sabbaths, full moon celebrations, traditions of men. We find our dwelling in Christ as we find Him dwelling in us. We're not waiting totally for a later day. What we now know in part, we will then know in full. But now we know in part. We know what it means for Christ to light our lives. We know what it means for Christ to give us peace. We know what it means for Christ to give us hope. It's not all reserved for a later day. The Lamb has already been slain. And he says here, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor to it. Into it its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. But only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me, chapter 22, verse 3. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystals, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Have you ever pondered the fact that our idolatry could have brought us into a curse? But we've told each other we're blessed. Yet we remain a generational disaster. We remain powerless and ineffective. We praise a God who's brought healing to the nations. Yet we'll cure bipolarism with a pill, for we no longer are available for the casting out of demons. We don't raise the dead. We don't heal the sick. We have very little foresight, very little insight. Our joy is found in a pile. We don't find our power when we're alone. Why is that? The Lamb took care of everything. He delivered us into a kingdom of power, a kingdom of glory, a kingdom of knowledge. He didn't bring us into a curse. So I'm going to say one of the boldest things I've ever said tonight, just ask a question. Do you know that the Bible says if the root is bad, the whole tree is bad? What did he just say he saw right here? Flowing down from the Lamb? Was not the tree of life by the bank? Was not healing for the nations in the tree of life? How many of y'all would like to see healing for our nation? How many of y'all would like to see healing for the nation of Israel? Would we not? Well, what did he just say? It's in the tree. But if the root is bad, the whole tree's bad. When you go back to the scripture where John recognized Jesus, follow up with that. And you'll find him cursing a fig tree. You'll find him cleansing a temple. You'll find him doing something before all of that that was the first miracle in the Bible. He filled up the jugs with wine. Y'all know the story? Why would that be? Why was that the first miracle? Why is that the first commandment of the New Testament? Do what he says. That's what his mother said. Do what he says. We can just stop right there. Just do what he says. The Bible tells us that man is born of water and the Spirit. But until that water is regenerated into the fullness of the Holy Ghost, the new wine of a new covenant, you're just water. And he filled every jug, every vessel, chock full to the brim with the best wine. The best wine. That's what God brought us into through the Passover. Turn back two more places and then I promise I'm done. 1 Corinthians 5. Very important. First Corinthians 5:6. Here again, we'll cover 11 at a later date. But he begins with, your glorying is not good. Remember what I told you before we started tonight? this facade that we're okay. We're Christians. Be careful. Be real careful. He said, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven. One of the three types of leaven in the Bible is the leaven of doctrine. He spent more time on that than he did the other two. Leaven of carnal sin, fleshly sin. Leaven of doctrine. He spent a long time on that. And the leaven of the kingdom of God. Those are the three leavens. And he said, purge out the old leaven. Do we have anything that we've become comfortable with that has a bad root? Will we not purge? Here's what's wrong with the church. Men will stand up here and lie about Jesus and tell you to clean up your life. Purge your life. Purge your life. Purge your life. I got news for you. Purge your pulpit. Purge your doctrine. Everybody wants to look at every fleshly mistake that everybody makes while they stand here and lie about the Bible. Not on purpose, but when men teach men how to look, sound, and act like a Christian, you're going to end up in the ditch. The Holy Ghost is your only hope for success. The Holy Ghost is your only hope to get it right. He's your only identifying factor. It's the Holy Spirit. And he says right here, don't quit glorying. It's not good. Little leaven, purge it out, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Now, I promise you one thing. I'm not the first guy to find this. So what the heck did everybody else do with it? Were we afraid to tell it? Were we afraid to do right? Is it too expensive to just listen to the Bible? Would we rather sacrifice the generations in order to keep our comfortable spot? Would we rather curse a nation than get it right? I'm just asking. Those are valid questions. Look at Genesis 22 and then I'll be done. This one's hard to get through. It's the most important part of this whole story. Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. Boy, we got to learn that one. Have you ever heard God call you by name? Get where you do. And work on your answer. Here I am. You see, if God didn't call people by name, you people wouldn't have to endure me. If he'd have told me ahead of time how this was all going to go, I said, you forget it, bud. I'm going to a jackpot. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay there with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. They came to the place which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, do you know when you read in your Bible an angel has a capital A? That's a predisposition of Jesus. Jesus called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. It is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. Multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand is which the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Because you have done this, I'm going to stand good on my promise. The one same one he made to him, Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. The same promise that he led him through the Passover, took him to the desert, led him out of captivity and brought him to a land that was promised, and continued to give them the generational promise. I think it'd be pretty hard to wrap your son up in duct tape, trot up that hill. Abraham was willing to do the hard stuff because it was right. Because he was willing, God saved the generations. You see, it's through Isaac and Jacob that you shall be reckoned. He saved us that day right there. And he did it with a sheep. He did it with a lamb. He did the hard stuff, and God provided. Not willing to do the hard stuff. So holidays that have their root in fertility goddesses, we'll just go along to get along. We'll keep playing the game of church. We'll call Sunday a Sabbath, and we'll call buildings houses of God. Never mentioned in one time Passover. Never come into a full understanding of the Paschal Lamb, Jesus, who shed his blood to redeem you and I, to bring us into a kingdom that we might live in peace and power, insight, foresight, all the stuff. Let me tell you what I know, because you're my friends and neighbors and you've stuck around for all this. You stuck around for some reason. Here's what I pray for and hope for. This is what I told my friend today, and it's been in me for a long time, and it finally came out, and I can't keep it from coming out anymore. I said this morning on Coffee with the Colonel, there's no way that I don't believe there's a way that I'd ever, with my voice, turn corporate church towards Passover.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.